It's Rhian Jones of the Consultation Institute on the 26th of July, and I'm holding in my hand the new government consultation principles that have been issued by the Cabinet Office and which apply, I think, to all government departments and public bodies, that is outside the devolved administrations of Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales. So it should be of interest to us, particularly here in England, because it replaces the 2008 Code of Practice, which itself was the third such Code of Practice since 1999. So there's been a lot of change in the way that government wants itself to be doing consultation. And this, of course, arrives only 10 days after the Prime Minister makes a very important commitment in the House of Commons, and he said that he would make sure that all consultations are carried out properly. So I suppose we can look to these principles to see what the government now thinks properly is to be. Now, the fact that it's short, I think, is good. This is in keeping with other practice at the moment of the government to try and simplify and to reduce the volume of guidance. It's a little bit like the planning guidance, which has reduced from 1,200 pages to 50 amid a lot of sound and fury. And this one reduces a code of practice from 13 rather dense pages to 3 rather simplified ones. So certainly we're pleased to see that brevity introduced. A couple of other things of note. Out goes the fairly rigid adherence to the 12-week consultation rule, though they still want to observe the compact with the voluntary and community sector. And they're talking now about something far more flexible. And that is also a good thing, because having a fixed, rigid formula for consultation isn't necessarily appropriate in all circumstances. Another bogey that may have been laid to rest is which public bodies actually are covered by the guidance. If you go back to the second of the four codes of practice we've had, there was a lot of debate as to whether or not it was ever intended to cover local authorities or the National Health Service. And they didn't resolve that last time round. And following 2008, we had this peculiar situation of an opt-in website. There was a website with the names of 60 public bodies other than government departments that had chosen, that had elected to follow the codes of practice. And that goes by the board, because if I'm reading the first few words of the new consultation principles, it sets out the principles that government departments and other public bodies should adopt for engaging stakeholders when developing policy or legislation. So that should be that. Now, how will these work in practice is, of course, another matter. There could be an unforeseen consequence in encouraging even more legal challenges. In other words, if we have less precise, more arguable guidance, will people go to the courts to seek a definitive ruling as to what is right and what is wrong? We'd like to think they might come to the Consultation Institute, where we have our own set of standards and where our own compliance assessment, I think, is proving to be valuable as a badge of doing things properly. What I think will happen is I think these principles need to be looked at alongside the new civil service reform plan. And with luck, I think the Institute will be able to publish a briefing fairly soon on the best practice interpretation and application of these new principles. I'm also interested to hear from any of our members and others who'd like to attend some workshops on these, so we can sit down ourselves and try and hammer out what we believe the government's intentions are, and for us to know how best to adhere to them in the spirit of best practice. So there we are, the new consultation principles are out, and we shall look forward to seeing how they apply in practice.